Hello, everyone, and welcome to Toonami Therapy. It's June 6th. I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we're back after, well, a little after missing a few weeks. Before we start, actually, that segues perfectly into what I was going to talk about. Basically, and this was part of the reason we sort of missed the last few weeks, there's so many shows we're doing right now that it's honestly getting kind of cumbersome to be doing the podcast as we've been doing. Not only like the number, but the fact each week we just have to get through all these shows and discuss them. So to try to sort of take the edge off, we're right now probably planning to making some changes to the podcast, probably cover fewer shows, maybe drop a bunch of the Toonami stuff, maybe kind of have a less strict schedule for watching the non-Toonami things. It's kind of up in the air, and we're discussing that right now, so I have not too many promises. If we can't like work it out, we might kind of put this on the whole thing on indefinite hiatus, but we're hopefully not going to do that. I'm just saying all that so you know. So we might miss the next few weeks also while we try to sort of figure some things out, but we'll definitely be back for when Hunter x Hunter airs its final episode, because we're going to want to talk about that.
Yeah, speaking of which, when is that final episode?
Let me see. I think it's 3 weeks from now. Let me double check on that, because I think there were only 3 episodes after this one. Let's see. Yeah. Wow. I forgot to actually get that ready. Hunter x Hunter. Where's the thing? Let's see. Okay, we finished 1-4. Yeah, there's 3 episodes left, so it'll be in 3 weeks.
Okay, yeah. From what I can make out 2 episodes in my mind. I can't make out what the 3rd episode is. So, like, I know what happens in 2 episodes, but I don't know if it gets dragged out for 3 episodes. So I'm just trying to figure that out in my mind.
Actually, come to think of it, and I guess we're jumping the gun a little in terms of Hunter Hunter, but I remember a while. I'll ask you when we get to it. We'll go through the other stuff first. Now the problem is we've kind of got 3 episodes to go through, and because that's a lot of stuff to cover, what I'm going to do instead is try to we've got 3 episodes to do. Well, I'm going to go through it a third of the amount of time that I normally spend. So we'll begin My Hero Academia episodes. Let's see, where were we? Yes, 50 through 52. All right, so, well, like I kind of spoiled last time, All Might basically lost his power, so that was a sacrifice he made. Then everyone gets dorm rooms and they move into it. There you go. That's our 3 episodes condensed into 2 sentences.
Is that really all that happened?
I mean, to be at, well, the third ep that was like the first 2 episodes. The third episode, remember there were like, you know, them like practicing out like the quirks and trying to improve and stuff.
Oh, so it's, see, I had expected it was going to like really ramp up once All Might lost his powers, and I'm surprised that it didn't, you know. Yeah. I was expecting it was going to be like now I can't remember his name. Deku was going to like take his place like right away, and I guess that doesn't happen for a while.
No, I mean, no, Deku's like nowhere near the level of All Might. He's still like, that's the eventual goal, obviously, but that's not what we're going to go right into. Unfortunately, having read the manga, I can say that the part we just did was pretty like the All Might fight. That was basically like the highest point of the series so far. And after that, it kind of has some good stuff, but it's mostly just not as good, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Still decent, but, you know, just kind of there, I guess. Now, then Dragon Ball Super episodes 111 to 113. People fight. Moving on. Attack on Titan, it's back, episodes 50 and 51. Now Attack on Titan managed, I mean, in these episodes, one of the biggest twists that I've seen this year. It's actually really good. No, seriously. I of all the stuff that we're covering this week, Toonami, not Toonami, I got more enjoyment out of Attack on Titan than anything else. I really like these episodes where they
Wow.
finally basically are like, all right, now let's go back to that place with the hole and like fix it with Eren's hardening thing and then get to the basement. Well, first we have to deal with all these titans like the Beast Titan and the Armored Titan that are attacking us. But yeah, we're like the plot is moving. We're getting back into the stuff that was set up at the start of the series. And there's good Titan stuff. It's interesting. It's good. It's good. That's what I am like, this is what I've been looking forward to for the longest time. We're finally here.
Wow. Yeah, if it would have gone with this stuff for season two, I probably would have changed my tune on this thing. But it's just like too late now for me. I kind of thought of it as a joke, you know. And yeah, I might check it out sometime in my own time, like maybe you just binge watch it or something just to see what happens. I know it's getting great reviews online, but so did the beginning of the show, and I didn't like that either.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't huge on any in the beginning either. I was just kind of okay. And then it got me. And then, well, I read the manga first. So when I was on the stuff that is the equivalent to season two, I was like, oh man, this is interesting. Now I'm really excited. Then it got to the part in the manga that was the equivalent of the first half of the season. I was like, can we get back to the Titans, please? Then it got to this part. And I was like, oh, this is actually really good. And then after this part, this season, the series gets really weird. After they finally like reveal all the secrets, which will happen at the end of this season, I think. But that's getting ahead of Ed. All right. Wow, that was a lot more than I expected to say on that. Okay. Promised Neverland, episode 6 through 8. So they make it. So the kids make a sort of uneasy alliance with Krona, but then she base. But then Isabella basically manipulates things to have her leave, and then she gets killed by the demons. So yeah, there you go. That was the Promised Neverland. In quick description, the problem I've got with this is it's so weird because I was a huge fan of this when I was reading the manga, but the anime for some reason isn't doing it for me like much at all. It's
Yeah, why do you think that is?
I don't know. Like I'm looking like when Krona got like, you know, when she was killed in the manga, I didn't like think what my reaction was different. I was like, ooh, plot twist. And here, well, maybe it's because I knew it was coming, but even so it just suddenly felt like, oh wow, it feels like she wasn't here around here at all before she was written out. Whereas I didn't have that in the manga. I don't know. Maybe it's just a series because there's a lot of dialogue that works better in manga, but that's the exact, you can say the exact same thing for Death Note, and that had a good anime. That had a great anime. So,
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, moving forward still. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Diamond is Unbreakable, episodes 36 to 38. So they're still fighting against, so they're all fighting against Kira now. They've, you know, found out him and they're, well, fighting against him. A whole bunch of like, you know, usual JoJo stuff happens. If you want my quick description, episode 36 was pretty weak. Episode 37 was really good. Episode 38 was kind of between the two with a larger emphasis, with more of a tilt toward the good than the bad. One episode left, which kind of surprised me when I looked that up. Okay. All right, let's move back into what I was saying about Hunter, Hunter 143 to 145. All right, it's your turn. Can you summarize these episodes as quickly as I summarize those?
Yeah, maybe not as fast, but pretty much Kibo gets his sister through Illumi's attacks and is able to get to the hospital. And then Leorio goes up and he's in the boat and he's in the top four. So he says that all he wants to do is save Gon and everyone claps for him. And then he goes up the first place in the polls. But just as they're about to vote on the final two, Gon appears. He's been healed by Killua. And Leorio pretty much just forgets about everything else. So that's pretty much it.
Yeah, it was... Well, actually, before I get on the question I was mentioning, because you were mentioning forgetting an episode, and that just only reminded me of something. I remember you were telling me that at the end of the Chimera Ant episode arc, it suddenly just kind of had this episode that was just some new character giving a big monologue about things that was really boring. But then that didn't happen. You're like, huh, maybe it happened later. Like, did that happen yet, or is that something that's yet to come?
Nope. Both of the things that I referenced haven't happened yet. One of them is that really big monologue episode, and I think that's the episode I forgot about that still has to come. Also, the really cheap way the vote ends, that hasn't happened yet either. So, yeah, we're still waiting on two really stupid things to happen. So, yeah, they've got to both happen in the next three episodes.
Yeah, I was just, when watching it, I was mostly just, well, I wasn't entertained by the voting stuff, but I still found it more interesting than the stuff with Killua and Gon, because, well, it's pretty simple. We know exactly what's going to happen. Killua is going to heal Gon, like, done. That's gonna happen, and all of this stuff they're doing in the meantime isn't really that important or interesting. At least with the election, I don't know exactly what's going to happen, so there's some level of interest there. Plus, Leorio has been funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's that. We've only got three episodes of Hunter x Hunter left. Did they announce what they're replacing that with yet?
Yeah, they did. It's going to be another Gundam series.
Oh, boy. Yeah, they have not been... The stuff they've been showing so far hasn't been... Grades. It's weird because I remember liking Gundam Wing a ton when I was younger, and I'm just kind of left wondering, if I were to watch that again, would I enjoy it like I did before, or would I be like kind of as bored by it that I was by the later Gundam series?
Mm-hmm.
I've always kind of been wondering about that. Okay, so we got that. That's all of our Toonami stuff. So, I guess I might as well mention quick that, no, that Black Clover was, now that they've moved it earlier, I've actually been watching it some. Yeah, these last few episodes were pretty decent. I like the fact that they had a sort of a Hot Springs episode, which actually they managed to keep the fan service reasonably low, which was nice. But it was funny because at like the end, the narrator just says, "Thus ends the obligatory Hot Springs episode." Which I thought was funny. Okay, now we'll move on to the other stuff. Ice Shield 21, episode 132, take us away.
Oh, I don't remember what happened.
Oh, because we watched these like several weeks ago and have forgotten all about it in the meantime. Yeah, actually, I'll do it. It's actually good because this was one I kept putting off doing, and then I always kept doing it like, okay, I'll do it like just shortly before we do the podcast, but then we kept getting that delayed, so I ended up watching this quite recently so I can actually remember things. Okay, so basically Monta's doing really great with the catching and such, and they're like managing to make progress, but then Sakuraba gets put in and starts and basically is thwarting Monta and managing to stop him from getting the passes, and so it's kind of left with them thinking, oh wow, he's really good, how are we going to handle this now, because they've used up three of their downs and haven't made progress.
Yeah, this is something I don't understand. You get four downs, but then you get another four downs if you get 10 yards. And getting 10 yards isn't like an extremely difficult thing to do. They kind of make it out like, they got four plays to score a touchdown, but that's not accurate at all. So, yeah, I have some problems with this.
Did they say that? I thought they were the point was they needed to advance to 10 yards in the four downs, and they hadn't managed to make any progress with the first three. So in this one, they have to move the 10 yards, or else, you know, then it goes back to the other team and they'll lose, you know, their chance to make a touchdown at all.
Right, but yeah. If you didn't make it in the first three downs, you're going to punt. You're not going to go for it unless you're...
Oh, yeah, you're right. See, this is why you're here. This is why you're here, to tell me these things that I don't remember.
Yeah. I actually have never seen anyone punt in ICU 21. So, I don't know if they even do punt, because that's a big part of football, but I've never seen it in the show. So,
I feel like they might have, but I can't really remember.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's Ice Shield 21. You want to leave Yomushi Pedal until the end? Because we'll probably discuss the series more as a whole. Okay. So, World Trigger episode 28. So, they managed to make the bad guy, Ron Benign, retreat, which is, like, good. So, let's see. Yeah. So Konami ends up having to go after the Treon soldier that kind of starts attacking, because the old guy like just says, well, this is my strategy in enemy territory. Are you going to go after that to help the town, or are you going to fight me? So she's like, and then goes after that. So Reiji ends up having to fight against him. But then unfortunately, loses, because the guy just essentially is able to like hit him with a blindside him with an attack. I will actually say this. I like the fact Reiji, he gets taken out, but before he bails out, he manages to sort of throw his weapon into the guy's leg to score a hit. So, you know, while he essentially does job to the guy, he doesn't go out, you know, like completely pointlessly.
Mm-hmm.
Which was nice. All right. So meanwhile, Osamu and Yuma and the others are trying to get into the border base, but they can't because it's all locked, because one of the other neighbors has managed to black mist guy has managed to infiltrate into it. Then Houston Visa, the old guy, and the other one that we were just talking about managed to catch up with them, but then Jin and Yuma show up to take them on.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. Yeah, I think I enjoyed this episode, although it's hard to do because I watched it 3 weeks ago, and I only remember this because I wrote down all of, like, the stuff to make sure I wouldn't forget.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Steins Gate, episode 16. Was it 16? Let me...
Yeah.
Okay, so. 16. Okay, so they managed to... So, some stuff. Well, they figure out that apparently Suzuha's father is actually Daru. I mean, he obviously hasn't given birth to her yet, but does at some point in the future.
So now I remember. Yeah, that was like one of the really stupid. Like, I don't know. I just found that to be so stupid that he's her father. Like, I don't know. That just was one of those unintentionally humorous things.
Yeah, well. So she's, like, going to head back in time to try to get the IBN so that they can, you know, stop and save the world from the totalitarian bad stuff. But apparently fails and basically gets so depressed she commits suicide. But then they send a D-mail back to try to change it, and they manage to make it so that, well, she at least doesn't get depressed and do that. She just dies of old age instead. But let's see.
I failed.
Yeah. that I think, unfortunately, that was, I don't say it that much, but that was to me unintentionally comedic. Like, legitimately, what it suddenly made me remember was that one scene from, what movie was it? The one where the guy says, "You had one job." What movie was that again?
I don't know.
Oh, well, that famous line. And I was thinking, oh, wow, so she's doing that to herself, essentially. But it apparently changes the divergence meter, so they accomplish something, it seems.
I can't get over these things that aren't supposed to be funny, but I funny. I don't know. you know.
Yeah. I mean, I still enjoyed it, but yeah, there were a few things.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. For some reason, I find this series more funny than I find it serious. So, yeah.
Okay, so that's all of the shows. Oh no! Wait! We need to return to Yomushi Petal. All right. Mm-hmm. So Yomushi Petal, episode 38, end of the season. Actually, honestly, I can barely remember what happened in this episode. Let me check my notes. This was actually the best episode in a while, but not nearly good enough to make up for all the mediocrity we went through and make me want to keep going with the series.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, actually, after watching this episode, I felt really stupid because I remember a few months ago when we were thinking that we were kind of deciding, okay, we're not really enjoying this series anymore. Do we want to keep going with it? We kind of thought, okay, we'll just go to the end of the season because that'll be a good and decide then, you know, maybe things will get better. And at any rate, that'll be where this arc ends, right? That'll be a decent stopping point and we won't end in the middle of something. No, this is not the end of the arc. They're still going through it. So if I had known that, I would have suggested we drop it like at least a month ago.
Yeah, I thought we'd at least get some closure, but nothing at all.
Yeah. So I guess since we're done with season one, we can kind of talk about the show in general, because like we were so high on this series at first, and then at the end we mostly just made Petal faster jokes.
Yeah, at first it was a really good thing, and it was like teaching us about cycling, and then it just kind of tailed off, and then it just becomes typical shonen, you know, stereotypical, you know, just try harder, that kind of thing.
Yeah, except usually the shonen, like nowadays, there's some of that, but usually like there's more emphasis at least on techniques and battles and stuff. That's like, I'll be honest, early on in the series, a worry I had was about how good cycling would even be for something like this, because compared to other things, like say football, cycling is a pretty linear sport. You're either like ahead of someone or you're behind. You're either going faster than them or you aren't. You're either like more tired than them or you're not. There's like not the kind of strategies you can weave into the story like you can in Ice Shield 21 or various other sports like basketball or soccer. Though I don't think I've seen any of the sports series that have those, but, you know, you can see stuff. Or, like, or volleyball, Haikyuu, they had, you know, there were strategies and stuff going on in that series. Not so much here, because in cycling, in terms of, as, like, a narrative, I don't think the races work as well because of what I, like, described. There's some degree of sort of like teamwork that was established, you know, someone getting in front, taking the win for other people, that sort of stuff. But like that's not really enough to make it a compelling like story of the sport itself.
Yeah, and it's proven to be like that too.
Yeah, it's one thing, I can't remember what anime, what was the anime you made the remark that it was, that it really barely focused at all on the sport itself, or some sports series? Was it like about like, what sport was that again?
Field.
Okay. Yeah, because now I haven't seen that, but I did read this manga series called Hikaru no Go, which was about the game of Go. And something in that is that it barely really focused on the strategy of the game itself. Like, the games basically went with someone like saying, wow, that was a close game. That player is winning. That player is losing. This is an intense match. This was one side. All of that kind of stuff. But that, I liked the series because it focused on the stories outside of the game itself and made the characters interesting. Whereas something in Ice Shield 21, well, I mean, I like the characters and stuff, but it focuses much more on the story within the game. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And Yomushi Paddle is focusing so much on the story within the game, and maybe it is possible to do scene cycling, and this series just hasn't, but it just doesn't seem like it's good at that. I feel like it would have been better if it had done more of that sort of outside of the game. It had focused more on the characters and you know, the thing outside of the sport itself, and, like, you know, had, like, much smaller attention on, like, what goes on within the races.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, that was my thoughts on Yomushi Paddle. Did you have anything to add?
No, not really. Just that I'm glad it's over.
Yeah.
Which is sad because I thought it was really good earlier this year. I was like recommending this show because I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I'm just
now.
Honestly, what just bugs me the heck was that I was, like, so expecting the arc would finish at the end of the season, and it didn't. It just made me feel dumb for, like, continuing with it as long as I did. All right, that's all of our Toonami stuff. So other stuff to talk about. I guess it doesn't really matter now because I saw the movie, like 2 weeks after it came out, and then it's been 3 weeks since then, but I did see Detective Pikachu. I thought it was basically the story itself isn't really that good when you get down to it. It's sort of like if it didn't have Pokemon in it and this was just like, you know, like some totally new setting with humans and these, like, sort of like other beings that they live with and work with, it would have just been an okay movie. Of course, it does have the Pokemon, which makes the whole thing much more interesting. And Ryan Reynolds does do a very good Pikachu. Although I did kind of wish you would hear a few more of, like, the actual Pika Pika in the movie, because it only, like, happens twice. But like I said, like, the plot, when you get down to it, is fairly standard, not that great. But it is fun to see all the Pokemon. The performances are decent. There's some good comedy. So it's basically, I mean, if you like Pokemon, you should see it. If you've got like at least some affinity for, like, the franchise, I think it would probably be worth watching. But if you're not into Pokemon, I don't think you'd necessarily get much out of it. But even then, it's not a bad movie, just an okay one.
Here's my problem with it. Like, Pikachu is pictured of being really cute, and turning him into a just doesn't fly for me. So, like, classic Pikachu and quick-witted Pikachu, I just think of Pikachu as being really cute, and I don't think of Pikachu as being cool, you know? So, that's my problem with it.
I mean, Pikachu is still very, very cute visually in the movie. They did a very good job animating all the Pokemon, managing to, like, make them look recognizable in 3D, but not, like, look weird or anything. thing. But something to be saying for Detective Pikachu. At its 66% score on Rotten Tomatoes, it is, on Rotten Tomatoes, the highest rated video game movie ever.
Well, I don't put too much faith into Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, I know. I was more making a joke at how bad video game movies normally are. If this, like, fairly decent but not amazing movie is considered the best of them. Because that's what pretty much everyone says. But yeah, there's my review of a movie that's been out for so long, it doesn't really matter. All right. So, other stuff to talk about. Want to talk about The Amazing Race?
Yeah, sure. See, I never saw this show before, so...
Yeah, you, like, just started watching it this season, and I wasn't watching it because I didn't even know it was on, but that you mentioned it, and now I'm rewatching it again. I used to watch it, but kind of stopped, so, yeah. Sorry for interrupting. Keep going.
Yeah. The only reason we watched it was because we saw that Survivor people are on it, and we're a big Survivor household. Everyone in our family watches Survivor together, so that's like a big thing. So we were like, okay, we'll just give this a shot because there's Survivor people on it. And then all the Survivor people were getting knocked out really early and losing everything. But there's still one Survivor team left, and they've managed to improve a lot. But it seems to me that the people who have already been on The Amazing Race are at a huge advantage over the people who never did The Amazing Race before, because every episode, it's an amazing former Amazing Race team winning. And the Survivor and Big Brother people aren't nearly as good. So I think they sort of try to just do a Survivor and Big Brother and not all three, because it's just such a huge advantage to those former Amazing Race teams. Well, if you did that on a show like Survivor, you can't really get an advantage for being a former someone who's already played it. In fact, that puts you at a disadvantage because people think you're really good at it, so they want to vote you off first. So I think they sort of rethought it before they did it and put former Amazing Race people on, because it's not fair, you know.
In fairness, I'm looking at it. The first team to be eliminated was from The Amazing Race.
Right, but
which is funny.
It was because of an injury, though. It was
okay. Okay, I didn't.
The guy got injured, so he wasn't able to do the rest of it. So he had to take a 4-hour penalty, and that's the only reason why Rupert survived past one episode, because Rupert from Survivor was just horrible at The Amazing Race. He was horrible, and he would have been first off for sure, but that guy injured himself in the first episode. And at the time, we didn't know anything about The Amazing Race. We didn't have a clue who these people were, so we were like, okay, that guy got hurt. We didn't even know he was a former Amazing Race guy, but as it's gone along, we've started to realize, wow, these Amazing Race people are really good at this. They know what they're doing. And the Survivor people are just clueless. They don't know what they're doing. So, that's what I've taken away from this. I, though, really liked it. So, wish I'd watched this season one, because I'm like, this is better than Survivor. At least than recent Survivor, because recent Survivor has been terrible. And the reason for that is that the host, Jeff Probst, has too much power. So he can do pretty much whatever he wants with it. He can pretty much help certain teams cheat in a way. Not cheat, but he'll give them idols and stuff and make them have an easier way of winning than those who, you know. So, yeah, I'm sorry for like this.
Keep going. I'm very interested in your thoughts.
Okay. I just really think that this show is managed to gain me as a fan, whereas Survivor's almost lost me as a fan. If it wasn't for the next two seasons being like supposedly like really hyped up, I might not be watching Survivor anymore, because it's just it's gone downhill. Like this past season, the winner was someone who got voted off third. He got voted off third, and yet they put this twist into the game to help him stay around. So, and it seems like they do these purposely put these twists in to help certain people. And then what happens is that this is something you never believe this if you don't watch Survivor, but there's this famous singer named Sia, and at every Survivor reunion show, she shows up and gives away a whole bunch of money to whoever her player was. Well, her favorite player is always whoever gets added into the star of the show. So basically what's happening is people are purposely trying to become a star, a semi-celebrity, rather than trying to win, because they know they'll get the singer's money. It's going to get money.
Wow.
$100,000 to this, because he was he had so over the top and such a character. He hadn't tried to win as much as he just tried to be a show off, and she gave him $100,000. So now that's going to make things worse for upcoming seasons, because people are going to say, well, I have very little chance of winning the $1 million, but if I do crazy stuff, I'll probably get $100,000 from Sia. So it's real. The show has just really gone downhill with this stuff, and Probst, the host, encourages it. And a man wins every single season now, because, and here's the reason why a man always wins, because the men are supposed to do all the heavy lifting and stuff. Well, what do when they're off lifting? They go off and look for idols, and they go and find all the idols, and then they have such a big advantage over women who are supposed to stay back and take care of camp. So the men keep winning every single season, and it's getting boring to a lot of fans. And that's why I found Amazing Race so refreshing, because the Amazing Race doesn't try to turn anyone into a celebrity. It just shows all the teams competing, and whoever wins, wins. And, you know, it's fair. So that's why I've become such a bigger fan of Amazing Race and Survivor, thanks to this past season. So, yeah, it's kind of funny. The Amazing Race used Survivor to suck me in, and as a result, I'm becoming more of a fan of The Amazing Race than I was of Survivor. So, yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, unfortunately, The Amazing Race, they only, like, do one. It's kind of weird that people refer to, for some reality shows, things as a season when they do them, have multiple ones in a year. But they only, like, do one season a year now. They used to do two, but, yeah. But yeah, so like I haven't really been watching this season. This was like my first episode I saw. But yeah, there were only like two of the teams that I remembered. I remembered Colin and Christy because they were in like the very first season of The Amazing Race they ever saw, which was like number 5. And Becca and Floyd, because I saw the season they were in a few years ago. I remember them because they had to like drop out of that one because Floyd like got he got like some sort of heat exhaustion or something from having to like carry so these things like around so many times. So, but they're apparently doing well now. So. Yeah. So yeah, fun show. This I think was the first season they actually put the U-turn into like a vote. So this episode. So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, see, for me, I wouldn't know whether they did that before. So that's a pretty cool twist, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting, actually. There's been a lot of changes in the show over the course of it. Like, for example, the U-turn. That originally was, I can't remember what it was called, but basically what would happen, the way it works is, you know, if you get to the point first, you can choose to, like, you know, do it to another team. And under the U-turn, it means they have to do both sides of the detour. Before they did that, it was some sort of timer thing where the team who got hit by it basically just had to like wait there for like, I can't remember how much, it was like 15 or 30 minutes until they were able to continue. And that's like way less interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's been like a number of improvements they put through for the years. Yeah, I'm going to be interested to see the rest of it. And unfortunately, when I started, the season's already more than half over.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. They don't have the English version of the I failed thing. I was going to play that, here we go. Let's see if we can get this. Hold on just a second here.
Okay.
YouTube is so slow. See, this never works for me. I failed at trying to get it up there, so...
Here, I'll just like insert it into the podcast or something. Like here, I'll put it right here.
I failed.
I only had to do one thing and I failed. I failed. I failed.
All right, like, you didn't hear it, but it will be there in the final MP3. So, yeah. Okay, well, so we've talked about a lot of stuff other than anime or Toonami. Anything else interesting to say?
Not this week. I'll come up with something next week.
Okay. So we'll see you we'll see you again, maybe not necessarily next week, depending on how we figure things out, but we will return at least for Hunter x Hunter, or maybe we will be next week, who knows. We will find out next week then, and we'll try to do better that time.